Welcome back to Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. You would think that once the Supreme Court made its decision, that would be the end, right? That would be binding. At least that's what liberals have told us for years about Roe v. Wade and other decisions that they like. But note this headline from lifenews.com. Quote, after losing to Hobby Lobby, Obama administration pushes crippling fines for HHS mandate violations. Wow. To discuss this is the director of lifenews.com, Steve Ertelt. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure. So tell us about this story. I don't understand. I thought liberals said, hey, you know, you don't like Roe v. Wade? Tough. It's the Supreme Court's decision.
Well, unfortunately, the Obama administration has never been a good respecter of what the courts are doing. As everybody listening obviously knows, the Obama administration put forward Obamacare, and in Obamacare is this HHS mandate that requires religious businesses, religious organizations, to pay for abortion-causing drugs for their employees. And naturally, any business or organization that's run by somebody who's pro-life is going to object to that. And what we had happened is exactly as you described. The Supreme Court handed down their ruling. They decided in favor of Hobby Lobby on a good, strong decision for us, saying that religiously run corporations have a right to opt out of this mandate and not have to comply with it. Unfortunately, the decision only regarded religiously run businesses. And so now religious organizations, for example, the Little Sisters of the Poor, which is based here in Colorado, those battles for their ability to opt out of this mandate are still pending. And so very likely this is going to go back to the Supreme Court again, where they're going to have to decide just how expansive is that opt-out, and is the very, very limited opt-out that the Obama administration providing, is that good enough, or should it be bigger, and should everybody have a chance to opt out of that?
All right, and just so people understand the core issue here, a lot of what the contention is, including the case with Hobby Lobby, it wasn't necessarily birth control per se. It was the abortion-inducing aspects of some of the birth control methods, correct?
You know, that's exactly right. And I think one of the misnomers in this debate and one of the things that hasn't been reported by the mainstream media very well is the fact that this is not about contraception. This isn't pro-life run businesses and organizations saying, oh, you know, we oppose contraception. We don't want women to have birth control. And you see all of this phony baloney war on women business out there. That's not what this is about at all. For example, with Hobby Lobby, of all of the various birth control devices out there, they were happy to provide coverage for all of the non-abortifacient versions of birth control. But the kinds of drugs that work in a way that destroy the life of a unique human being, a little baby, just days, a day or days after conception, that's really what's at issue. It's a drug or a device that works as an abortion agent that takes the life of a little baby. That's what the debate is all about. And so it was a very limited, narrow portion of the category of birth control drugs that Hobby Lobby objected to, not each and every birth control drug or contraceptive.
Now, I should say this, as far as religious grounds, if on religious grounds, let's say a Catholic group or whatever, opposed the other versions of birth control, I don't think they should be forced to that which violates their conscience, just based on my understanding of our Constitution and the Founding Fathers and what they have given us. But still, this whole message has been so distorted, so you'd think that, you know, Hobby Lobby is out there to say, hey, we don't want women to get any access to birth control, which is just not true. That's not the case. They just don't want more dead babies.
Exactly. And even, you're absolutely right, even for those groups, maybe Catholic organizations are opposed to birth control, that's their moral and religious position, they ought to have that right to have their freedom of conscience upheld as well. And unfortunately, that's not being done by the Obama administration. They've thrown freedom of conscience to the wind and to say, and it's ironic because they're pro-choice, if you will, on abortion, but when it comes to freedom of conscience issues, there's no choice. You will have to pay for these drugs and devices, whether you oppose them or support them or not.
All right. Now, apparently the Obama administration came out with some rules and guidelines in July, just the very month after the Hobby Lobby decision. And you quote in your article, and in fact, I'll just go ahead and quote her, Irina Grosu, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, director for the Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Council. She told you, lifenews.com, quote, effective immediately, This latest rule still orders charities like the Little Sisters of the Poor, nonprofit Christian colleges like Wheaton College, and religious broadcasters like EWTN to violate their consciences simply because they legally contract for health coverage. Your comment?
Well, that's exactly right, and that is what is at issue, because you have these organizations, again, whether it's a Christian college, university, a religiously run group, or what have you have these organizations and these companies that want to opt out. And what's happening is the Obama administration, they're responding to the Supreme Court decision not by changing the rules on the opt-out and whether somebody can or can't opt out. They're just restating the rules. So they've come back and said, oh, you know, Christian college or you religious group that doesn't want to be involved in this, we're just going to enforce the exact same fines and penalties on you as we did prior to the Supreme Court ruling. So they really haven't changed a doggone thing. All they've done is restate the fact that they're going to impose heavy, heavy fines, in some cases thousands, hundreds of thousands, depending on the size of the company or organization, maybe even millions of dollars in fines by violating this HHS mandate. And in fact, a company like Hobby Lobby potentially had millions of dollars of fines because they have so many employees all across the country. Those fines are $100 per employee per day. And you do the math on that, and that adds up pretty quickly.
I'm dumbfounded. We live in a constitutional republic. We do not live in a banana republic. If the president doesn't like the Supreme Court's decision, then he's got to somehow change things around. He can't just say, hey, I don't like the way the Supreme Court ruled and I'm in charge, so boom. Phooey on the Supreme Court. Here's the new rules. And by the way, it's the old rules, too, before the Supreme Court said they were unconstitutional.
Well, that's why we're in court, because we have an Obama administration who just doesn't really care about the Constitution or about court rulings. It cares about its own agenda. It cares about appeasing Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. And that's much more important for the Obama administration, for this president and his friends in the Senate. For example, we got a big election this year. For all of his friends, that's what's more important, is appeasing those people on the left, the abortion industry, and their friends at Planned Parenthood. That's the important goal for them, not respecting religious rights, freedom of conscience issues, or pro-life values.
Huh. Well, now, they say that there's about 3 million or 1.2 million, something like that, abortions in America per year. How many would be in the category of caused by abortifacients, roughly? I mean, do you have any idea?
Yeah, the last statistics showed about 15 or 20%. What happened was when the abortion drug RU-46 came out, you had a very small percentage of abortions that were caused by the abortion drug compared to surgical abortions. And since that drug came out over a decade ago during the Clinton administration, what's happened is, or 2 decades now, time has escaped me, that the percentage of use of that drug has continued to increase. And so while it went from, you know, maybe 1 or 2% in the year or two following the Clinton administration approving RU-46, it's now up to about 10, 15, 20%. So if you look at a graph, for example, you would see that chart where that number go up and up and up over that period of time. And so now you're at the point where it's about 15% or so of the abortions are done with the mifepristone or RU-46 abortion drug, as a lot of people know it. And what's happened, fortunately, though, is even though the percentage of people using the abortion drug has increased compared to surgical abortions, we're still seeing those abortion numbers go down. And so the pro-life movement, this is actually a real victory for us. You know, that drug had the potential to just blow up the number of abortions here in the United States every year. And fortunately, those abortion numbers still are going down. So we're doing a great job with education, with pro-life laws, pregnancy centers, all of these things that we do as a pro-life community to try and protect unborn children. We're still seeing a lot of success out there.
Explain who Little Sisters of the Poor are and exactly why would they want to pay for birth control, much less birth control that causes abortions.
Exactly. Well, they are a charity group. They're a charity here in Denver, Colorado that provides for the
and
poor.
And in other places, too.
And it's interestingly enough, you know, they're having a hard time doing their work because they're having to spend so much time and money and energy fighting for their religious freedoms and values. It's impacted their ministry. And so here you have ostensibly an Obama administration who's all about, you know, taking care of the poor and those who are disadvantaged economically and what have you. And here you have an organization that's attempting to do that, and they're having a difficult time meeting the needs of the people they serve, because they're fighting an Obama administration that's more concerned about abortion than actually helping the poor.
And aren't these basically nuns who make a vow of poverty and chastity and so forth? But that
it's a religious order. Think Mother Teresa, and they are doing everything they can to provide for the underprivileged people here in our state of Colorado. An excellent organization, and of course their religious values, not only does it compel them to help people who need a helping hand, it compels them not to be a part of abortion or birth control in some cases, or contraception. And so they're being prevented from exercising their First Amendment rights, which we as Americans ought to have a right to exercise. There's a reason the founders put religious rights as the First Amendment,
right,
not an amendment later on down in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, I remember when the Hobby Lobby decision first came out about 10 weeks ago or so, there was a big hue and cry, and you know, you would have thought that the Constitution was thrown in the dust and so forth by the Supreme Court. And by the way, that decision was 5-4, as I recall, so it was pretty hotly contested within the court itself. But here's what I don't understand, and this is kind of the gist of your story. The Obama administration is saying, we don't like that decision, so we're just going to pretend that the Hobby Lobby decision wasn't even made, and we're going to go ahead and start fining these different groups. Or is it that they're saying, we're going to go ahead and fine the Little Sisters of the Poor, we're going to go ahead and fine Wheaton College, by the way, I went to Wheaton Graduate School, we're going to fine this group and that group, but we're not going to fine Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Woods because they were mentioned in the Supreme Court decision and the Supreme Court won't let us do that. But all these other groups we're going to go ahead and fine. Is that what you're saying, basically?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're saying. I mean, the Obama administration is doing everything that it can to impose this mandate on everybody that it can. And one of the things that I think this
that's
is
outrageous.
It brings up the fact that we've got to be involved in this upcoming election.
Yeah.
You know, we have an election cycle here where, you know, the Senate has the ability, the Congress has the ability to fight back. There is an amendment that pro-life groups are pushing in the Senate called the Blunt Amendment that would restore these religious rights and these pro-life values and freedoms that we hold dear, that would protect organizations like the Little Sisters of the Poor, would protect Christian run companies, it would protect Christian colleges and universities. And we don't have the ability to even have a vote on that amendment right now because Harry Reid runs the Senate. And so if people are concerned about these issues, you know, this is the time for people to speak up. And the best way to speak up is at the ballot, is with your vote, to vote for senators who do share those pro-life and religious freedom values. So we have the ability now to step up and say, hey, we want Congress to push back against the Obama administration. We want to do something about it. So we have an important election. And unfortunately, all the stories that I'm seeing say people just aren't engaged very much. So if listeners are really, truly concerned about what's happened to Hobby Lobby, Little Sisters, and other Christian-run groups and organizations like them, this is the time to stand up and say, hey, protect my rights and protect my values, and then let's do it again in 2016 to get a president who can begin to undo all of these onerous things they put in that disrespect our pro-life values.
I've always felt that if a politician can't get the issue of abortion right, what else can't they get right? Okay, I might not understand all these specifics of some details, you know, of some things, but abortion I can understand. And sonograms, I can understand them even more, how wrong abortion is.
Well, you know, there's a good quote that Father Frank Provone, a priest for life, says that if you don't understand what's the difference between killing the public and serving the public, if you can't comprehend that you don't kill the members of your own constituency, unborn children, the future generation of America, if you can't understand that, how can you respect anybody else's rights? And so how can you talk about the rights for the poor, the disadvantaged, any other right that we might enjoy after birth, if you can't protect and make sacrosanct the right to life prior to birth? It's a very good question.
All right. We have been talking with Stephen Ertelt. That's E-R-T-E-L-T. He runs the wonderful lifenews.com. Specifically, we're talking about one of his columns from a couple days ago or a couple weeks ago. After losing to Hobby Lobby, Obama administration pushes crippling fines for HHS mandate violators. I still don't get it. I just think that's so wrong. Okay, how about a closing thought, Stephen? And by the way, lifenews.com, great website.
Well, thank you very much. And anybody can go to Life News and get signed up for our free pro-life news. We send that out on a daily and a weekly basis. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Anybody can find us there as well. But we'd love for people to sign up and get informed. And, you know, we have to be an informed community. We have to have pro-life people that understand what's going on in these battles. And there are so many battles, not just here in our country, but around the world. And it's not just the abortion or religious freedom battle that we're fighting. We're fighting euthanasia. We're fighting human cloning. There are all of these end-of-life and bioethics issues that along with abortion comprise the pro-life fight. There are so many ways that people can get involved, and we just encourage people, just get the information, use it, share it, inform your friends and family, inform your church members about it, but get informed and be a part of what's going on. Every day we're fighting to protect people's right to life, and every day we're fighting an abortion industry that has no desire to give up. They want abortion on demand with no limits throughout pregnancy for any reason, and so we need people to step up and be involved. So go to lifenews.com, get signed up, and be a part of that pro-life battle with us.
I do, and Stephen Ertelt, I thank you so much for your work. Keep up the great work.
Thanks for having me. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.